Hi there. I'm Donna Riche, Language Arts Lady, with episode number 19 of 10 Minute Grammar. A few weeks ago, I left off on episode 16, Subordinators Part 1, and then I had some Christmas cards and a few other things to teach in between here, and now I'm back for Part 2 of that, which is Subordinators and Subordinate Clauses, Part 202. So we will end Subordinators today, only to come back to them later in a lot more detail, right? Okay, so let me just give a quick synopsis of some of the things that I talked about in episode number 16. First of all, I taught the rhyme that I teach to my youngest students to learn the first 8 subordinators in rhyme. So these are the most common subordinators. Wait, before I tell you that, subordinators are words that begin a subordinate clause. All right, they are, last episode I called them the 11th part of speech, because they are not often included in the 8, 10, or 12 parts of speech list, but they are super important. And I almost think we should move them up earlier. I'm gonna get to that in just a little bit. So I start out early teaching them, teaching my students, my second, third, fourth graders, different parts of speech through my Think Fast Grammar Quiz. I have a beginning one and an advanced one. My kids do it every week so they learn all the parts of speech that come in list forms, such as prepositions, coordinating conjunctions, interjections, noun markers / articles, subordinators, coordinating conjunctions, interjections. I'm trying to see them on the page. So all of those parts of speech that can be memorized that they will need to learn in order to write correctly are included in that. And then the upper level one has coordinating conjunctions. Conjunctive adverbs, and some other things. All right, so the first 8 that my kids learn are the most common ones, and they learn them in this rhyme: since, when, because, though, as, if, that, although. Okay, so you'll see it in the notes below, and you'll also see it in the quizzes if you take a look at those at my store. All right, since, when, because, though, as, if, that, although. Okay, so that's the first 8. And those are very common ones, and that's why I like to start out with those. I also always like to teach first things with a mnemonic or a jingle or a rhyme or a song, like the Be a Helper Link Verb song, which is also in the aforementioned quiz, because they stick better to them. They can learn them more quickly, and then they have them at their disposal when they're ready to learn the punctuation of each of those parts of speech. All right, and then the next way that my students learn is through the subordinator check sentence. So if you watch the episodes about prepositions, you will remember that I have a preposition check sentence that 95% of all prepositions fit into the plane flew, around the clouds, over the clouds, through the clouds, and so forth. And I have a similar thing with subordinators, and that is when the submarine went down, we could still see it or we could not see it. All right. And then the 40 or 50 subordinators, probably 80% fit into that. So when the submarine went down, we cannot see it. Because the submarine went down, we cannot see it. Since the submarine went down, we cannot see it. As the submarine went down, we could still see it. Although the submarine went down, we could still see it. All right. And so that is another great way. That is, check sentences are the very number one way, even over jingles, rhymes, and mnemonics, to learn parts of speech, because they show the purpose of it, right? Subordinator, submarine, went down. Subordinators at the beginning of a group of words makes it go down. So let me go back. So maybe in school you learned that subordinate clauses were also called dependent clauses. And if you were like me, I never understood what that meant. Now that I'm an adult, I can say things even to my students like, you know, you are a dependent on your parents' taxes. But they still don't know what I mean, right? And subordinate is not an easy word to learn either. But with a little bit of magic mnemonic trickery, we can actually teach them subordinators and subordinate clauses almost more easily than the whole concept of dependent. So a dependent clause, a clause is a group of words that has a subject and a verb. An independent clause is a sentence and stands all by itself. A dependent clause is a group of words, subject and verb, but it cannot stand alone. So why in the world would these two types of clauses not both be able to stand alone if they have a subject and a verb? And that is because of the subordinator at the beginning of this dependent clause. It's another reason why I call it a subordinate clause, because my kids learn subordinators and then they learn a subordinate clause has a subordinator at the beginning of it. So that is some of that, you know, magic that I was talking about a minute ago. They also know that a subordinator has the word prefix sub, and that means to go down, just like a submarine. So they know that when a group of words that has a subject and a verb has a subordinator at the beginning, it makes it less. A substitute teacher is less than the regular teacher, right? The substitute player is less than the regular player. Only when the regular player gets injured, right? So they're less. They're not bad or anything. They're just less, right? And so just like a submarine goes down, when a group of words has a subordinator at the beginning of it, it goes down. And it is no longer a sentence. And then it is a subordinate clause. Now, you might be wondering why we're doing, you know, making such a big deal out of something that you might not even remember having learned, or that maybe your kids don't have in their textbooks. But I am going to tell you four very important reasons why students need to learn subordinators and they need to learn subordinate clauses. Number one, a subordinate clause is not a sentence. So when my students write a sentence that sounds like this, when I left for the park, and then they put a period, I tell them that when I left for the park is not a sentence because it has a subordinator at the beginning, and the subordinator makes it less. I also tell them that only three-year-olds can say, when I went to the park, and call it a sentence, because they're not that cute, but three-year-olds are. They get a big kick out of that. Then, secondly, they need to learn subordinators and hence subordinate clauses because they are often used as sentence openers and they have special punctuation. This is the biggest reason. Well, the first reason, differentiating between sentence and non-sentences is a very, very important skill, right? And if we just go by the whole, it's got a subject and it's got a verb, so it's a sentence. It's got a subject and it's got a verb. That's why I have caves, capital, all makes sense, verb, and mark and subject. That all makes sense. Doesn't work with subordinators at the beginning. When I went to the park, doesn't work. It can't stand alone. There's something missing. And I even do it like this with my students. When I went to the park, and I act like I'm falling off my chair, and they're like, that's not a sentence. I was like, you're right, that's not a sentence because it leaves you hanging, right? So differentiating between sentences and non-sentences, super, super important, right? Because that is the whole basis of writing, is sentence writing, right? Sentences, words are for sentences, sentences are for paragraphs, and paragraphs are for stories, essays, books, and so forth. All right, so number one, telling when a sentence is a sentence, when it is not. Number two, being able to punctuate them correctly. Most of the grammar, like interjections and coordinating conjunctions and subordinators and even prepositional phrases and prepositions, to a certain extent, they all have their own punctuation. And if you don't know what they are, if you have no idea what a subordinator is, you have no idea what a subordinate clause is, then how could you ever learn to punctuate them? And so that is a second reason, the punctuation of them. It's super, super important for, let's just start out with the openers. Very important that when I went to the park, comma, you can't use a subordinate clause by itself. You have a subordinate clause and then a real sentence. Or as I like to tell my kids, subclause, CS, complete sentence. Subclause, CS. And you need a comma between the two. Thirdly, subject-verb agreement. Because a subordinate clause is the same as a sentence, but has a subordinator at the beginning of it making it less, it has a subject and a verb. And even inside subordinate clauses, the subject and verb must match. So then they are dealing with matching the subject and the verb in the subordinate clause and also in their sentence. And they can't they can't figure out which subject and which verb goes together in order to match them up if they don't know this is the opener and this is the real sentence. So in the case of when I went to the park, comma, I jumped on the trampoline, okay? When I went to the park does have its own subject, I, and its own verb, went. So they need to make sure they know those two match up, and then I jumped on the trampoline. I jumped matches up. So subordinate clauses do have subject-verb agreement issues that will need solved. But if they don't know that this is the real sentence and this is just the opener, that can really throw them off. And finally, the piggybacking a little bit off of the opener is just advanced punctuation. Because there is very specific punctuation when you have a subordinate clause in the middle of your sentence versus when you have one as an opener versus when you have one at the end, which we will get into a lot more when we do our more advanced punctuation coming up. I can never stop talking about grammar. I will be talking about it forever. And so you just keep following along and I will teach you all of my tricks and all of my tips that make grammar and writing so much fun for me and for my students. Don't forget to subscribe if you are listening to this at iTunes and give me a thumbs up. Thanks. See you soon.